Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
For us, and that nothing else controls us. By your grace and goodness, we just give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers, if you would. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I should say this too. If you struggle in the area of giving and those things, then you need to go back to the Word and study. And then also with that, I'm going to say this. You probably won't hear a lot of, maybe you will. I don't know. I don't know who you listen to as far as ministers. But if you just struggle in that area and you don't have faith settled, don't give yet. Or if you struggle with me and the way I present the offering, give to somewhere else, but make sure you give. Come on. You say, why do you say that? We've been saying it for 5 years and we still haven't gone broke. Praise the Lord. Amen. You want to know why? Now, I want you, I know this. I know the Lord wants us to give and I want you to be blessed. And I, of course, we want you to give here. But if what's more important to me is that your heart's right between you and the Lord. Does that make sense? But listen to me, don't be lazy and just leave it alone because you don't like the subject. Come on. Amen? Don't get, well, if I do that, and you go into a panic, no, stop that. Don't let fear control you. Go back to the Word and study and hear from the Holy Spirit for yourself. Amen? And as you do, God will open your eyes as you're yielded to Him. And you're open to Him. He'll show you what to do. How many want to know what God wants them to do? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9. Remember, we're still filled from worship. Just in case you forgot. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 9. And I want to start here and then read in a couple of different places in the Old Testament, actually, continuing there. Proverbs chapter 9, we're talking about being teachable, and I want to look at this verse again here because it's so good because it determines, you know, some people think, well, you just never know how long you're going to live because it's just whenever God decides and then boom, your number's up and you die and you don't know why. That's not a proper understanding of the scripture on that subject. Because if you read through the book of Proverbs alone, you'll see where over and over again, wisdom lengthens your life and foolishness shortens it. So if it's just up to God and there's just some secret day out there that nobody really knows what it is, which doesn't make sense anyway because Peter said that he knew when he was going home and so did Paul. So there's two witnesses alone. Jesus also knew when he was going to go. And you can know when you're going to go. And I said, and you can know when you're going to go. It depends on your fellowship with the Lord. And that is not just some predetermined time that God set out there that he's going to show you it'll be on April the 5th in 2025. You're done, buddy. I've had enough of you. You're going to be a greasy spot. No. If that were the case, why write all these proverbs about you can add and multiply your days? You can add to your years. If that's the case, how many know this? Drinking and driving will shorten your life. And probably somebody else's. Right? Everybody's seen that, right? How many know this? If you eat Twinkies all day, every day, you're not going to be an Olympic athlete. And you go to the doctor and the doctor says, is there a blood type Twinkie? Because you've been eating Twinkies. How many know that might shorten your life? Was God in heaven going, my plan is that they overeat Twinkies. No, that's not what the case is. If you'd have been listening to the Holy Spirit, he would have said, throw those away. You don't need any of them. What, do I have a bunch of Twinkie eaters in here or what? Don't touch the Twinkies, Sean. No, there are things, there are decisions that we make that can lengthen or shorten our life. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your body right now. Amen? And so there are ways, you know, if the doctor tells you, you need to take this out of your diet, you know, because it's affecting you, do it. Amen? I mean, no, I'm not, and we're not against doctors. They're not God, but doctors are good. Amen? Okay? And I know there's evil in all groups, but you know what? We live on the planet, so. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. In other words, if you're trying to teach somebody that's rebellious, don't bother. Do you know that every action has a response? There's a reaction that comes. Okay, there's seed time and harvest. If they won't even listen to the results of the bad decisions they're making, they probably won't listen to you either. Does that make sense? It's not good to just go around pulling on dogs' ears, because they may bite you. Amen? And we'll see this in the next verse. He says this, lest, verse 8, do not correct a scoffer, lest he what? Hate you. Okay, so just recognize what's in front of you when it comes to being teachable. Now, you don't want to be a scoffer, and you don't want to be a wicked man or woman. You want to keep those things. You want to be teachable. So you want to be the second part of verse 8. Rebuke a wise man or woman, and he will what? Love you. Now, you've just been rebuked. And yet you look at the person that, now this is a relational thing. You look at the person that just rebuked you, and you go, man, I love you. Come on, husbands and wives. Should we do marriage counseling now? Come on, think about this. Young people, when your parents correct you or rebuke, if you need a rebuke, now, correction is one thing, rebuke's another level. You know what I mean? How many have experienced the next level? Okay? If you're just correcting out of, I'm irritated with my kid, that's one thing. But when you really love your child, you won't just let them do whatever they want. And if you teach them correctly, then the next generation, your grandkids will be raised under kids that then also know how to correct and rebuke their kids and teach them and move them forward correctly. And this is one of those things. This goes all the way up the line to Jesus. This goes all the way up the line of levels of authority in the body of Christ, and then it travels back down. And our heart attitude in it needs to be one that's teachable. So if you're a wise person, if you're a wise man or woman of God, you love rebukes in the sense of you love correction. Why? Because give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So in other words, what happens? A wise person knows that as they're being corrected, as discipline is coming to them, as they're being and or as needed rebuked, what takes place? They know at the end of this, I'm smarter than I am now. Does that make sense? And I want to be smarter. And people say, well, that's a painful way to learn. Okay, my feelings are not the most important thing on the planet. My parents taught me this. They did. Yeah, they were good at it. How I feel is not the most important thing. The Word of God is the most important thing. And if the Word of God comes to me, come on, like the rich young ruler, and I don't like it, I can go away sad or stay put and be wiser by the time I'm done. Does that make sense? See, This happens sometimes in the church. In order for real maturity in the body of Christ to take place and real maturity in your own life, God will put you in places that are uncomfortable to your flesh. He will. He'll put you there. And he'll see what comes out of the altar of your heart. He's looking for a scent. And if in you is, I don't like their personality. They're not the right skin color. They shouldn't teach that way. I wish they would do this. The worship wasn't just the way I like it. This wasn't just the way he's listening. He's smelling. You know, it seems weird. But it says in the Old Testament, they'd burn animals and God would be like, that smells good. Apparently he likes barbecue. I started a new doctrine. Anyway, In other words, what is he looking for? He's looking at the heart with which we respond. He wants to see what are they doing. We talked about this before in leadership. We might have mentioned it on the Sunday mornings too. But I know people that have left churches because of the flavor of the coffee. It was better at the other place. See, we live in a culture spiritually many times that doesn't have faith to make things better. It has selfishness to go somewhere where I get what I want. If the church as a whole was truly led by the Spirit of God, it might look a little different than what it does today in many forms. Now, God's not nervous because he knew what was... Come on, he knows where we're at. Okay? But it might look a little bit different if the church as a whole was led by the Spirit of God in decisions that they made. I've had people come up to me and go and say to me, now I'm going to say something here and I want you to hear my heart in it, because we never tell anybody to leave a church or go to a church or come to this church or go to that. We don't do any of that. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You can choose by listening to him or not. It's up to you. I am not pastor dictator. Amen. How many have noticed God doesn't even make you do what you're supposed to do? He'll let you choose. But in the midst of that, what you don't realize oftentimes is this, is that the Lord is actually working things out of you that you aren't even aware that they're there. Come on, how many have ever been in prayer or you've been reading a scripture and all of a sudden the light comes on and you realize you've been functioning in a way that is not good in line with the Lord? And all of a sudden you look at it and you go, oh, I guess I have to change. That shouldn't be a shock to us. It shouldn't be a shock to me that I read the word and the Lord says to me, Sean, you're not doing that. I can do one of two things in that moment. You're right. That stings, but you're right. Or I can go, well, God, if you knew what they were like. And all of a sudden, what has come forth? What's in me? And what else have I done? I've responded in anger to the Lord instead of in faith, which means what? My heart is hard. What am I doing in that moment? I'm actually subtracting days from my life. Amen? Do you see that? We need to be aware of this. I'll go back to the story since some of you still want to hear it. This person came up to me and said, they were talking about a church that they were at, and you know, and they were saying how much they enjoyed the relationships there and stuff like that. And they were talking to me about our church and stuff, and boy, we really like what you're doing, but you know, we got these relationships over here. I said, yeah, man, that's great. Yeah, stay where you're at. Do what God's called you to do. I am not a prodder. I'm not good at stealing sheep. I'll just be honest. Amen. That's all right. I don't need to. They're not my sheep. I'm just an under shepherd. He's the chief. Come on. And I shouldn't say just, because it's the Lord's call. I'm not trying to disrespect that. I'm just saying the Lord is supreme. And they made this statement to me, and I turned and walked away, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, there are a lot of people, Sean, that choose soul relationships over the leading of my Spirit. Oh, that hit me, because I went, how many have experienced this? You've been in a church for years or whatever, and then the Lord starts leading you some other direction. I've had that happen. You know, those relationships are hard to leave because you've developed friendships. But who's king? Oh, man, do you see that? What is it? That's someone who's what? Teachable. If they follow that. And out of that comes what? Your chief development, the chief thing that the Lord's after is the development of you. Why? Because if he finds a person that will do what he wants, that will take up that cross and follow him, he knows there's no limit to the damage that he can do to the kingdom of hell through that person. See, this is about development. It's not when you develop spiritually. Boy, I am loving where I'm able to teach right now at this point in the service. If you develop the way you should and the church does the way they should, they won't come. They'll be so full of Jesus, so focused in faith on Jesus. Their needs are met. They're taken care of. They're looking for a place to dispense, not just receive. And the design of the purpose of the resurrection with Christ was this, is that we come to the place of full maturity in Christ, to where you're looking at somebody, speaking to them and listening to them, but you're not sitting in the background thinking, I wonder what they have for me. I wonder what they have for me. I wonder what they have for me. You're sitting in the background thinking in your spirit, Lord, what do I need to do with this person right now? What are you saying, Lord? What do you want me to do for my child? What do you want me to do for my spouse? What do you want me to do for my fellow church member? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me? In other words, you're in a place where you are pliable to the Lord and usable. Here's the nice thing about being a dispensing pipe that doesn't stop up. You're always full of the flow. You're always full of the flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, let's go over to 1 Samuel. Did you get anything out of that? Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He? Let's go over to 1 Samuel. I just want to read this and then we'll be done. This passage here. So you're going to find 1 Samuel. And we'll start in verse number 1. 1 Samuel 15. Sorry, I should tell you the chapter. Just find it in the spirit. You're led. 1 Samuel. We're going to go talk about Saul. And I want you to see if you can see any of the characteristics that we've talked about up until this point in Saul in a, well, we're going to find it in a negative sense here. 1 Samuel chapter 15, if I can find it. Hallelujah. No, I went too far. That's all right. I have it in here. There you go. I got to go check my concordance. 1 Samuel 15:1 says this, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Now this is vital. What did he say? Heed the voice of the words of the Lord. So, you know, they didn't have the Bible like we know the Bible in that day. And during this dispensation, they had prophets, priests, and kings. Okay? In fact, Saul was the first king that they established. But they had prophets, and the prophets heard from the Lord and then delivered to the people. Now, what is going on here is this is a prophetic word to Saul. And Saul is now hearing the words of the voice of the Lord. It is vital that we, as part of being teachable, that we what? Heed the voice of the Lord. Verse 2 says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek and what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Now, I don't have time to get into that, but people read those scriptures that know nothing about the Lord and nothing about the times, and they go, look at God, he's a killer, he's a, you know, and all this stuff. And if you understand in context what was going on and what took place, if you understood the level of demon activity that took place during the Old Testament, you would understand why that took place. Okay? Because everything, I heard Andrew Womack say, he even believed the animals were demon-possessed. People say, oh, that can't happen. Really? I read where Jesus cast demons into pigs. Some of you might know an animal that's demon-possessed. It might be your cat. I don't know. Maybe you need to lay hands on the thing. Come out! And Jesus said, you could practice. You say, you go into the chickens next door. Actually, I just think all chickens are demon-possessed, to be honest with you. We grew up with roosters. Oh, my goodness. One day, me and my older brother were out in the yard, but my brother had roosters. And we had one named Checkers, and he was a big old bugger. He had spurs on the back of him, like that. Yeah. And he would attack. One day, he got his due, though. He got frostbite in one leg, and he was a one-legged chicken after that. Anyway, so he had spurs, but he wasn't the mean one. We had a Bantam rooster. Whoo! He was little, but he was mean. And my younger brother didn't have enough sense to leave that thing alone. Do you remember the time, Mom, you came outside and Ian was on the ground and Checkers was on his back pecking him in the butt? Sorry, Chris, if you're watching, I just told off on you. That thing was mean, man. Chickens can be mean. One day, me and my brother were outside, my older brother, Toby. And we had a great time growing up, man. We had outside, you know. We'd break stuff. shoot stuff. I actually hunt rabbit. Well, we actually hunted rabbits with a 20 gauge shotgun. Have you ever done that? There's not much left. We got in trouble. Anyway, so we were outside goofing around in the dirt, and we're sitting there playing, and all of a sudden I see my younger brother Chris pew, run by. And guess what was behind him a few seconds later? That bantam rooster chased him all the way across the street. I looked at my brother Toby, I said, "That was Chris and the rooster." We both jumped up and took off running. Why? Because we had to get the rooster so it wouldn't attack my brother. And he was running in flip-flops. Doesn't that sound like a nightmare you've had or something? You know? You're trying to... How did we get off on that? Okay, so 1 Samuel 15. All right, so demon-possessed animals. Yeah, praise the Lord. So they had to kill everything. So verse 4 says this, "So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah." So he's got a good army. "And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, 'Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them.'" So separate, you guys get out of here. I don't want to hurt you too. "For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites." How many know your associations can mess with you? All right, verse 7, "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them." Was that the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord was what? Destroy it all of it. Okay? So look at this now and think about this with me. Is Saul being teachable? No. Now watch the excuses and see if you've ever used one. I have. Okay? "They were unwilling, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed." So what did they do? They assessed the situation and went with their thought, not God's. That's being unteachable. Verse 10, "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, 'I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from what?'" See, so this is not some little disobedience thing. This is a heart issue. What has Saul done? Now, you have to read the rest of it with the understanding of those words right there. His heart has turned away from God. So now everything he does and says is not for the Lord. I'm talking about Saul. It's for who? It's his own opinion. He thought it would be best to go this way. Well, I'm the king. Sound like a teachable heart there? No. It's not a teachable heart. I can do what I want. No, I don't care if you're the kingpin of your business. I don't care if you're the chief boss of everything in your world. You can't just do whatever you want and not have the full blessing of the Lord. Amen? If you want the full blessing of the Lord, you've got to follow him. Amen? So he says this. "Now the Lord said this to Samuel," and then he said, "He's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments, and it grieves Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night." So a good man of God will do what? He'll intercede for you. Amen? Don't just send him off to death. See if you can change it first. Right? Amen? So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, there's a verse to get up early, it was told Samuel saying, "Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal." Verse 13, "Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, 'Blessed are you of the Lord.'" And I got to read that again. "Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to Samuel, 'Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" Come on. Teachable, right? Now watch this. Watch this. But Samuel said, because Samuel's a good friend, and he's a man of God. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? I obeyed the word of the Lord. And in the background, Samuel hears, bah. The sheep are prophesying. Come on. You see that? He says, what then be this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. You've all heard of they before, right? Well, they say, who is they anyway? Okay, that's another thought. We won't go there. For the people, this is a good leader, right? No. Blame it off on everybody else. For the people. Well, it's not my fault, Lord. Do you hear the hard attitude? You can't just read these words. You got to look at those describers in there. Samuel or Saul did what? He turned his back. He turned away from the Lord. How do we know he turned away from the Lord? Well, for one, he let the people lead him in something. Are you supposed to be led by every person that's in your life? You're supposed to be led by who? The Holy Spirit. Now, people, can the Lord work through people? Well, absolutely. But they're not God. Amen? They're not God. So he goes on to say this. He says, and verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. Watch this, let's get religious, to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and to the rest we have utterly destroyed. So see, we only kept these because we were going to do an offering for the Lord. He's going to be so excited. But we destroyed everything else, so it's like we obeyed. And plus, I didn't want to do it, but the people did. Are we loving this or what? Verse 16, then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. You know, sometimes you just got to say that. It's just time to shut up. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Notice Samuel didn't come with his opinion. What did he come with? The word of the Lord. So if you do have to go correct somebody, you better make sure you have the word of the Lord. Amen? I'm not saying they have to accept it. You just have to make sure you got the right word. Amen? So then he says this. And Saul, in his, I guess, flippancy, speak on. So verse 17, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Verse 18, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why do you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Come on, you got to hear this hard attitude here. This is not a person who's teaching, I did what the Lord's told me to do. You don't speak that way to the prophet. Come on, let it go all the way. It hurts, I know. It hurts our flesh, but think about it all the way. What is he saying? Samuel is the word of the Lord to him in this moment. And what is he saying to Samuel? I did do what I was supposed to. No, you didn't do what you were supposed to. What is this person? Somebody who is unteachable. Nobody can teach Saul at this point. He knows better. You know, there is a consequence to rejecting the word of the Lord. Amen? There's a consequence to it. And it still happens till today. Okay? Some people think it doesn't, but it does. He said, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag of Amalek. What? It's like, hello, let the elevator go all the way to the top. But he is so hard against the Spirit of the Lord, he's not listening anymore. He's just now wrapped up in the defense of himself. He's no longer teachable. He's no longer instructable in the things of God. And he says, I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the... Oh, I read the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Skip down to verse 21. I'm in the right place. I thought I wasn't, but I am. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord in Gilgal. Verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Does he? Well, I gave an offering. It's a good thing we got full of the Holy Ghost in worship. Come on, this teaching right here builds a stable reservoir within you so you don't leak all week. I'm a poet. I am psalming, hymning, and spiritual songing right now. In other words, when you obey God, the reservoir stays full. And you don't just need to, you get full and stay there. Ooh, do you think Jesus was full and stayed full? How many like full? Better than running on an empty tank, you know what I mean? He says this, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, this is a question, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Watch this, we quote this verse. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And watch this, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, I don't have a lot of good qualities, but I am stubborn. Really? So you are a fan of idolatry? Stubbornness. Well, I'll move when I'm good and ready. Okay. You know, it's interesting because the Lord is very, in fact, Mike said this in leadership 2 weeks ago, and man, it hit me. He said this, because the Lord is patient. How many have noticed that? Are you thankful for it? Yeah. You're going to love this next phrase then. He said, don't mistake patience for permission. Right? In other words, the Lord is patient and He is merciful, but don't mistake it for permission. A lot of times people do this. They think, well, it's fine. The Lord just loves me just the way I am. Actually, He loves you in spite of who you are. I need to say that again because we have this idea. People have this idea in their mind that God doesn't expect anything of me. I just, whatever, because Jesus paid it all, so I don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do anything to earn your salvation. You are born again. But how many have noticed that there are in the New Testament, in the epistles, commandments, and He talks about maturing in the Lord? And if you're going to grow, if you're going to develop, there are these steps that you follow, and they're steps of faith and respect and love showing back to the Lord. Listen, I'm not going to lose my righteousness based on my disobedience in that sense. I won't, because my righteousness is based on grace through faith, correct? But I can hinder what the Lord wants to do in my life through being rebellious against Him. Does that make sense? In other words, just like the Proverbs talks about, I could actually shorten my life disobeying God, but still make heaven. Right? And so, in these things and with these things, when it comes to truths about these things, What is Samuel trying to do with Saul? He's not trying to take over Saul's place. He's not trying to hurt Saul's feelings. He's trying to save Saul's life. And so is the Lord through him. Have you ever had anybody tell you something hard? But then a few weeks later, you're like, you know what? They're right. You know, the longer I walk with the Lord, and the more that we grow and develop, and the more that we develop spiritually, the more I am thankful for those that speak truth to me. Now, there are those that are just not mature in this, and they just think they're going to run around and rebuke everybody, and honestly, you should just ignore them and let them grow. Because they think they're the master of all, and they have it all because they, you know, have walked with the Lord now for 2.5 months. But you know what? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You ever read Paul's rebukes to the Corinthian church? You ever read through those? Man, I read through them and I'm just intrigued. But you know what he says at the end of 2 Corinthians? Guys, I've been given this place of authority, speaking to this church, not to destroy you, but to build you up. But you know what Paul didn't do? He didn't write to the Corinthians and say, man, you guys are the best. You're doing everything just right. Don't bother changing a thing. You're perfect. God loves you just the way you are. Come on. And people say, well, you're saying God's love is conditional? No, I'm saying it's unconditional. But he loves you in spite of some of the things that you're doing. Come on, we are not so vain that we think that we're just doing everything and God's going, I just can't get enough of this. Did you see how they chewed out that other driver from their windshield? I'm just telling off on myself. So it just pleases me the way Sean's impatient with his kids like that. No, what the Lord is doing is he's going, I love you, Sean, but you're going to have to change this by my grace. And stop acting that way. Amen? Then Samuel said to Saul, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. How many know it's a bad idea to fear the people? Now therefore, please pardon me my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you. Now that was not the word of the Lord. He said, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. How many know that's not a good day? Okay? So he says, as Samuel turned around to go away, what did Saul do? He seized the edge of his robe and tore it. Come on. Think about this attitude that Saul has right now. You're not going to walk away from me. And he grabs the guy's coat and rips it. Does that sound like a teachable, humble, reverent person toward the Lord? Does it sound like somebody who has a heart that is pliable and teachable? Does it sound like somebody who has their attitude right before the Lord? Does that sound repentant to you? Yeah, but you say he just confessed that he did wrong. Yeah, but his actions are showing differently. He didn't repent, because if he would have repented, there would have been a change. And you know what he's interested in? Because he says this, and Samuel turned around, he tore the robe. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it, listen to this, to a neighbor, listen to this, of yours, who is what? God did what? He did what? He took away what? The kingdom and gave it to who? He gave it to David. But Saul didn't know it was David. But what did the Lord tell Saul? I'm giving it to somebody who's... He didn't say, I'm God and I just believe in total equality. Am I treading on thin ice? Not yet. I love it. What did he do? Would you stand? He said, I'm taking it away from you and I'm giving it to what? Somebody. Oof. Do you know, our place with the Lord is secure in Christ. But you know, there are many scriptures, and I'm thinking of just a few right now, but Peter talked about husbands and wives not being bitter toward each other, that their prayers wouldn't be hindered. So what does that tell me? That tells me that in spite of our faith and the grace that we have, that we can hinder the flow of it. Do you see that? Paul said this. He said, faith works by love. So he tied it to something else, right? He said, faith works by love. So what does that mean? That means that if you have all the faith in the world, but have not love, you're like a clanging cymbal. You're noise in people's ears. That means if faith works by love, that means that with all that Jesus did for us and all that He accomplished in our righteousness in Him and in the death, burial, and resurrection that He accomplished, all the payment of our sin and all of that, even though we're going to heaven, that if we don't walk in love out of that grace, that ability that's within us, tap into it and live out of that, then we can what? Stop our faith from working. Do you see that? People sometimes will do this, and I've noticed it in, because there's an imbalance here in understanding of grace. And if you want to know more about that, we actually have messages on the website that we've done, if you want to look them up. But they do this. They'll say, well, I'm under grace. I can just do whatever I want. Okay, let me just give you a practical thought here. If you're married and you're under grace and you think you can do whatever you want, start lying habitually to your spouse. And see if there is not something that happens outside of grace. Come on. Come on, are we thinking here? Does that make sense? We're not under grace just to do whatever we want. We are empowered by grace to walk as Jesus walked. Can you imagine Jesus doing some of the things that we see church people do? Can you imagine Him going around telling lie after lie after lie after lie after lie, living a double life? Can you imagine that? See, we need to understand this and we need to be teachable in this, because in order for the presence of God and the glory of God to manifest and move through the body as He has designed, not only in the church, but also in the rest of this area that we're called to, we're going to have to be walking with the Lord and not allowing everybody else to decide for us, but fellowshipping with Him and allowing Him to put His finger on things. And if there's a sheep, come on, bleeding in the background, if there's an oxen lowing in the background of our lives, we need to have the Lord say, hey, go kill that thing and get rid of it. And then we go, okay, Lord, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm sorry. I believe Your mercy and Your grace is good, and I'm going to go ahead and take care of that right now. And then as we continue to grow, how many know this? As you continue to grow, how many have walked with the Lord for 10 years or longer? Has He ever dealt with you about changing something? If He hasn't, you have not heard from Him. I say it unafraid, unapologetically. If He has not dealt with you about something, it's because you have not been listening. And I am not talking about, the Lord has dealt with me about so many things, and I'm not talking about some condemnation, you'll never get up. It's not this abusive thing. When the Lord comes to you and corrects you, what is provided? A way out. So it comes, and it's peace and life, and you go, oh. Come on, how many have ever experienced that? You don't want to be an illegitimate child, right? And the Lord disciplines those He... Oh. So when the discipline comes, you go, I'm going to be wiser. Why? How do you know? That spanking probably hurt. I know, but He loves me. He loves me. And I'm going to go to a higher place. Come on, let's just do that. How many want to do that right now? Let's just commit to Him right now, and then we'll let you go. Father, we just come before You in Jesus' name. Lord, deal with us in any area that You choose. Lord, we desire, we are teachable. We desire to be moldable and pliable in Your hand, doing what You desire to do. Lord, that we are vessels that are pleasing to You in our faith, because without faith it's impossible to please You, Lord. That we please You not just in one area, but in all areas. Lord, that You would form us into those vessels that You're able to fill and refill and overflow again and again, day after day, week after week, month after month. And Lord, 10 years from now, we'll be a different person. We'll have gone, as we've been pliable and obedient to You, we'll have gone from, as Your word says, glory to glory, from faith to faith. Lord, we'll be able to say when we get to the end of our life, it's no longer I who lives. Lord, we've completed our course. We've accomplished what you've asked us to accomplish. We just thank you for it, Father. And we commit ourselves to you. Lord, we say, not my will, but thine be done from the heart. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Well, thank you for your patience. I know I want a lot bit over. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And we'll see you Wednesday night. We're still on The Believer's Authority.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.